Shalom, Mishpucha. Shalom, family. Mishpucha is a Hebrew word. It means family, and we're the Mishpucha, the family with a Jewish heart, made up of Jewish and non-Jewish people, where the middle wall of separation has come down to form what Paul calls one new humanity, one new man, a new species of being. But it's as if there's a deficiency in the Gentile church, in their spiritual DNA, just as there would be a deficiency in a Jewish church with their spiritual DNA. And God created it that way. And when these two spiritual DNAs, Jewish people that believe in Jesus, Gentile people that believe in Jesus, come together, it forms what Paul calls the full dwelling place for God. And as a matter of fact, we haven't seen anything yet. In fact, Paul is almost beside himself. He says, if it was a blessing the Jewish people rejected their Messiah, and it was, Gentiles could be grafted in, how much greater blessing when they receive their Messiah, and it will trigger something that Paul calls life from the dead. And this has many meanings, but I believe one of the greatest meanings, and my guess right now is Paul Keith Davis, and he would agree with it, is a release of resurrection power, power that would restore limbs, restore dead people to life, power that would, that cancer could not stand against. As a matter of fact, Paul Keith, I understand in 1990, you were watching a video about William Branham that really changed your paradigm for things.
It did. You know, coming from a background that that was, what little church we had was very conservative. I had never even heard that there was a thing called the Latter Rain Revival. I had never heard of the Voice of Healing, and I had certainly never heard of a man named William Branham. But a video was given to me, and I watched this service from the 1950s, and I saw something that I had never seen before. And while I was watching it, the Lord said, "This is your destiny and the destiny of your generation." And I watched as he stood before people and began to reveal secrets of their hearts that he had no way of knowing.
I have to tell you, I have seen, I don't know the video you saw, but I've been out to Oral Roberts University, their library. They have a video of Branham, and I see those gifts operate, and I say, God, we need them now. I mean, I am passionate to want to move in that realm myself, or to at least see someone on planet Earth move in those realms.
And of course, you know, the biblical paradigm that we have from that is when the Lord Jesus himself met the woman at the well. And, you know, he could have used any method he at his disposal to win this woman, but he chose to tell her everything she ever did. And I'm of the belief that he didn't just tell her that she had had five husbands. I believe that he started when she was a young girl and walked her through her life, bringing her to the very point that she stood at that moment, and of course, he awakened in her. That's the thing that I'm after for our generation, is that encounter by weaving his way through all of the shame and discouragement and failure that she obviously had experienced. He touched a seed of destiny that was imparted to her before the foundation of the world. And I believe that what we're called to do today is exactly the same thing, that there are many out there that are steeped in failure and in shame. But as they begin to see this measure of the supernatural demonstrated, it's going to awaken a seed of destiny, a DNA that was put in them before the foundation of the world. And we're going to see some of the most radical, born-again, spirit-filled warriors that the world has ever seen, literally. And that's what I'm after.
Now, in 1990, when you were watching that video, God spoke to you. What did he say?
What he said was that this, you know, I hate to even apply myself because I'm not a shadow of that man of God, but he said, that's your destiny and that of your generation.
Well, when is it coming? I mean, I can hardly wait.
I'm praying now, Lord. Now is good. Because we're not going to do it merely by empty words. It's going to have to be a demonstration.
For those that never saw Branham minister, describe what they might have seen.
I have talked to numerous people that were in his meetings, dozens and dozens of people. And there were two things that characterized those meetings that I believe we will see in this generation at this very hour. The first thing was there was a divine presence that came, and there is no substitute for the presence of God. And we can call it the Greek word parousia. They called it back in the 1950s and early 60s the pillar of fire. You could even call it the pillar of cloud. The Bible says Moses and Aaron spoke to the Lord. Samuel spoke to him, and the Lord spoke back to them from the pillar of cloud. We find that in Psalm 99. And so that presence was reintroduced on a level that had never been seen through 2,000 years of church history since the Apostle Paul and the early disciples. Paul met that pillar of fire presence on the road to Damascus. The 120 met that pillar of fire in the upper room, and that's lacking today. We don't see that kind of a manifest presence demonstrated right now, but we must. And I believe that the 10 years or more that we have been in severe pruning, I believe many people have been in the wilderness through a pruning process that is severe. And I believe it has been for the purpose of walking in that kind of a presence. I remember T.L. Osborne sharing the testimony of being in a William Branham meeting in 1947 in Portland, Oregon. And he said that night he had his second vision of the Lord Jesus as he watched that little country bumpkin preacher. And I say that with respect because I'm one too. But he's just a man with an eighth grade education trying to walk his way through a sermon. Then all of a sudden Jesus showed up. And he said miracles began to happen on a level that he had never even imagined. And here's the good news. T.L. Osborne said when that happened, he said, I had my second vision of Jesus step into that man. And he said 10,000 voices boomed from heaven saying, you can do that. You can do that.
I mean, the way he knew what was wrong with someone, he knew their names, he knew what streets they lived on. It wouldn't take a whole lot when a total stranger reads your mail like that to believe when he says, and you are going to be healed right now, to be healed.
You know, it says in 1 Corinthians 14, when you reveal the secrets of the heart, will they not fall down on their face and say, surely God is in this place? And the interesting thing, Sid, about that is that I don't believe what he ministered in was just a word of knowledge. And though a lot of people said he had a profound word of knowledge, I believe it goes beyond that. I believe what we saw demonstrated in his day and what we must contend for our day was Hebrews 4:12, where the living word comes down in a manifested way, manifesting himself through a body of people, discerning the thoughts and intents of the heart. That's what he was doing, because the very next verse, verse 13 of chapter 4, says, for all things are open and laid bare before the eyes of him with whom we have to do. All the secrets, all the details of people's lives is laid bare, open, and you're able to tap into that, not for the purpose of empty demonstration, but in order to let them know that God knows all about their situation, and it takes faith to another level. The people I've interviewed that were in those meetings said that when that presence came, that the feeling prevailed that anything was possible. Anything was possible. You wouldn't have been surprised at anything that happened. If limbs grew out, if dead bodies were raised off of gurneys, you would not have been surprised when that level of heavenly atmosphere came into the room.
Let me take you back to 2003, when your spiritual scales literally came off of your eyes and you could see what was going on in the invisible world in Albany, Oregon. You told us on yesterday's broadcast you saw angels, and you asked the Lord, what kind of angels? And he said, angels that gather. What is the specific purpose of an angel that gathers?
I think their purpose is twofold, primarily. I don't want to limit them to any two things, but two things that I have seen so far. I have to admit, when I first saw them, I'm thinking, okay, they're going to co-labor with us to bring in lost souls. And that certainly is part of the mandate. But if you'll notice very carefully, look very closely at Matthew chapter 13 and verse 41, we find them identified with out of the words of the Lord Jesus himself. He says, the Son of Man will send forth his angels that gather out of his kingdom all stumbling blocks and everything offensive. Well, I've discovered that I'm thinking, well, I have a lot of stumbling blocks in front of me that I won't remove so I can move forward in ministry. But I discovered they started working in me and putting their finger on things that needed to be dealt with in my own life. Nothing flagrant, you know, just little attitudes or little things that that weren't necessarily consistent perfectly with God. Then I looked a little closely at the scripture, and it says, I will remove out of my kingdom. The kingdom of heaven is within. And I realized that right now they have been working to remove the stumbling blocks within us. And when I saw that revelation, the Lord said to me, if you let me remove the stumbling blocks within you, I'll remove the ones before you. And I really believe the Lord has been restraining us so that he can do in us what is necessary so that we can have the kind of impact on our generation that he wants to do. And so I found out also that there's a harvesting of promises, harvesting of commissions. It's not just about bringing in...
What do you mean by harvesting of promises?
I believe that there are promises, prophetic promises that go back even to the Old Testament patriarchs, promises of an end-time generation. I believe what Abraham saw, what we saw described in Hebrews chapter 11, this incredible hall of champions, the Bible says they saw something prophetically, but they're still waiting on us to apprehend it so that they're made perfect, Hebrews chapter 11, verses 39 and 40. And so they saw something. They saw a righteous generation. David spoke of that in Psalm 24 when he said, there will be a righteous generation. And we've been contending for that, and I believe we're living in the days when that righteous generation will emerge, and Jesus said they're going to be called sons of the kingdom. He said that he has sown into this world seeds, and that he is intending to come back to harvest sons of the kingdom. And he is, of course, that great seed that went into the earth, and at the end of the age, there'll be multiplied grains of wheat just like the original seed.
Did the Lord tell you anything about this book, Angels That Gather?
The main thing that I am hearing from the Lord is that it's now. That it's now. We can't continue to put off into the future the revelation of the sons of the kingdom, that right now there must be the emergence of a first fruits.
Well, listen, I believe there is an anointing on this book to give you the prophetic access to your inheritance for this end-time harvest, a harvest of promises, of commissions, mantles, and souls in the glory realm for a donation of $20, Angels That Gather. If you would like to receive a complimentary copy of our bi-monthly teaching newsletter, materials catalog, or information about becoming Mishpucha, or Chalitzim, write to me, Sid Roth, Post Office Box 1918, Brunswick, Georgia, 31521, or call our order-only line, 1-800-548-1918. To place a credit card order, call anytime, 1-800-548-1918. For all other calls, the number is 912-265-2500. That's 912-265-2500. For a cassette tape or CD of this week's broadcast, send a donation of $10 or more to Sid Roth, that's SIDROTH, Post Office Box 1918, Brunswick, Georgia, 31521. To see our television show, It's Supernatural, or our archives, or subscribe to our radio and TV podcasts, look us up on the web at www.sidroth.org. That's www.sidroth.org.